Our first scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. Hear now the word of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival used to provoke her severely to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore, Hannah wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow, "O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head." Our New Testament this morning is reading is found from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 32 through 34. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. In the 1970s, comedian Flip Wilson had a variety show. How many remember that? Yeah. And he portrayed a variety of characters. You remember Geraldine? Well, one of my favorites was Reverend Leroy. And Reverend Leroy was the pastor of the Church of What's Happening Now. And one Sunday, Reverend Leroy stepped into the pulpit and he began to preach. "If this church is going to get anywhere, it's going to have to learn to crawl." And the people shouted, "Let it crawl, Rev, let it crawl." And then he said, "And after it learns to crawl, it's got to learn to walk." And the people said, "Let it walk, Rev, let it walk." And I mean, Reverend Leroy's getting a little worked up now. He's kind of excited. And he said, "And after this church learns to walk, it's got to learn to run." And the people shouted, "Let it run, Rev, let it run." And he said, "And if this church is going to run, it's going to take money." And the people said, "Let it crawl, Rev, let it crawl." Well, last week, Larry Marchionneau gave a wonderful stewardship moment, but he kind of stole my thunder. Because he quoted the familiar verses from Luke that make up our lesson today. And I'm looking for him so I can give him the evil eye. There you are. Okay. Of where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he spoke of Reverend Al preaching years ago on that text with his checkbook and his register to illustrate the point. Well, I was planning to do something similar today. So thanks, Larry. It is amazing what truth there is in that simple scripture verse. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But nowadays, instead of looking through our checkbook registers, many of our folks don't even have a checkbook, much less a register. They would be scrolling on the app on their phone because more and more people are doing their banking online. But if you review your expenses, you'll quickly get an idea of what you are spending the most money on. What is the most meaningful thing in your life? And so today we lift up stewardship, most especially the giving of our time, our talents, and our treasure to maintain our church and its mission. And I've said it before and I will say it again. Our congregation is very mission-minded. It is our heart of who we are as servants of God. We are fortunate to have very generous members who give so willingly of their time and their treasure and their talent to keep our ministries alive and well. Our missions are well-funded and well-served. But where we fall short, and this is not the only church in this situation, trust me, but where we fall short is in our support of our general fund. Because this is how we pay the utilities, our staff. It's how we maintain the building and the parsonage, how we pay for insurance, office supplies, and all the expenses that come from being the church. And this year has been a very heavy church year for us financially. We have had a lot of unusual expenses that we haven't had to deal with, some of which are me. You called a new pastor. You had to pay for my moving expenses. You've now got a full-time salary and benefits. We celebrated our 175th anniversary with special events each month, and it was a tremendous celebration. But we're not going to do that for the 176th. We had a major pigeon problem in our bell tower, and we had to put a new roof on the parsonage. And we're still awaiting some repair work on the parking lot. And that's just a few of the things we've been hit with. And as Rosanna Dana used to remark, it's always something. Well, supporting the general fund is vital to all our missions. Without the building and our staff, we wouldn't be able to carry out all the ways we serve this community. I learned stewardship from my mother. And so this morning, I would like to share her story with you. My mother had 6 children within a span of 10 years. After the 4th child, she began working part-time to help support the family, as my father was frequently out of work due to his alcohol consumption. After the 5th child, she went to work full-time. My mother had always wanted to do a full tithe, 10% to the church, just had that goal. But, you know, there was always a doctor's bill to pay or medicine or someone needing new shoes. I mean, it always seemed like there was something and so many other places for her money to go. She supported the church financially, but she was never able to achieve that 10%. So one year, as she looked at her pledge card during the stewardship campaign, hey, I grew up Presbyterian. I knew that the 2 middle weeks in November, we were going to talk about stewardship. And she prayed about it. And she decided that nothing was going to happen unless she took a leap of faith and made it happen. And so every payday, her tithe check was the first one written. Now, there were still unexpected expenses that came with raising 6 kids. You know what that's like. But she discovered that she always had enough. And she never looked back. She even tithed her bingo winnings, or when she had a good day at the track. Remember, this was Louisville, Kentucky. Horse racing is big. And occasionally, she would win a few dollars on a scratch-off ticket or on the Powerball, and 10% would go to the church. And how she would do it is, as she would leave church on Sundays after a windfall, she would shake the minister's hand and press the extra cash into his hand, telling him, "I had a good week. Use it where it's most needed." And at her funeral, he shared that story and commented that Mary Jo was having a very good week indeed, because she was now with her Lord and Savior. When we let go of money, we are letting go of a part of ourselves and part of our security. But this is precisely why it's important to do it. It's one way to obey Jesus' command to deny ourselves. When we give money, we are releasing a little more of our egocentric selves and a little more of our false security. Giving frees us to care. It produces a spirit of joy as we anticipate and respond to what God is leading us to do. And the truth of the matter is this: the church does need money so it can survive and best serve those in need. A church that is alive needs generous, sacrificial support of those who love it. Only a dead church demands no sacrifice. I mean, have you ever heard anyone say, "Oh, my church is always asking for money. I just don't even go anymore. I wish I could belong to a church that never needed any money." Surely they don't mean that. I mean, any church that is alive needs money. Only dead churches do not call on their members for support. If anyone should accuse your church of always needing money, regard it as a compliment. Invite the person to rejoice with you that you both belong to something which is living and productive for Jesus Christ, rather than a dead, stagnant organization from which the glory of Christ has departed. May we be good stewards. May we show our love for Christ in the way we give generously of our time and our treasure and our talents, so that we may better serve the Lord, so that we may be God's arms and feet and hearts in the world today. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.